thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole. Here, my boy Ray Jeezy. He's back. He was on load management. What's going on, Ray?
I'm still on load management.
How are you still on load management?
Because, man, I won't be here every week to close the year out. But again, I'll be in the building most of the time. It's just I got to manage all what I'm doing. You know, catch me on the Round Ball Report tomorrow night. For those of you in PG County,
what's popping on Round Ball Report?
Channel 42 and Comcast.
What's popping? What's popping on the show, man?
Oh, my homegirl, Coach Nikki Carter, was on the show, and my man, Coach Jimmy Flyholman. Man, we had a good discussion. Maryland basketball. We talked WNBA. No. We talked. I just said Maryland college basketball, right?
Yeah, you sure did.
We talked men and women, both sides. We talked Wizards. We talked NBA and Lars. Lars are the two LA teams. That's the big discussion. Who's better, Lakers or Clippers? And we talked Georgetown. Lakers. And the thing was, when we talked Georgetown, because of course we record, it airs tomorrow. We were talking about how Georgetown can get rolling because they need to make a tournament run. This is Pat's third year. And this now all of this information comes out. And it's like, wow.
I know. It hurts. But hey, how can folks catch the Round Ball?
I just said it. Fios.
You just said on the con. I mean, like specifically, dog. Specifically. Oh. You just can't say Fios or not.
PG County, again, if you live in PG County.
Oh, PGCTV?
Right. Okay. Verizon Fios, Channel 42, and Comcast, Channel 76, comes on tomorrow night.
Make it hard to try to plug you, man. Good God.
Oh, no, that's all good. And you know, I'm always at the Entertainment Sports Arena for the Capital City Go-Go. I didn't go today, though, because, first of all, who plays a game at like 11:30 in the morning?
That's tough.
On just a weekday.
That's tough.
And you don't get that many fans. In general, shout out to Harvey Grant, though. His son Jerry is on the team, so he's been at the games. You know, him and I, you know, we've been kicking it lately, which is interesting. I actually know him from years ago, and it's interesting getting to see a former Washington Bullet just be back in town to support his son and see the next generation, another DeMatha alum, playing well tonight.
I took a picture.
I mean, playing well.
I took a picture with him recently.
Harvey Grant?
Yeah, he was at
you take pictures with a lot of people.
I was hooping, because actually there was an event at Walter Reed, and I was hooping. And he was out there. I was like, damn, dude, you tall.
You said, damn, you tall?
Yeah.
Was he playing?
Nah, he was just there. Nah, we were just taking pictures. Like, Harvey Grant, he was just taking pictures. I went and took a picture with Harvey Grant. Because, you know, he's a Bullet. You know what I mean? You grew up watching the Bullet. Like, Lito Echols, Harvey
Tom Hammonds. Tom Gugliotta. Rex Chapman. Mean. Yeah, you the man. You the man.
That's the reason I'm a Bullets fan. Let's go.
Man, it's not too many Bullets fans right now, obviously. You saw the TV numbers?
What's the TV numbers?
Down 57% viewership from last season. You didn't see that on Twitter today?
No, I didn't.
It was circulating.
People talk about the Skins and the Ravens, though. I saw that in terms of on the market, in terms of when the two teams are playing at the same time. In this market, the Ravens took
over. I actually missed that, so.
So, yeah, you know what I mean?
It's all about what you're looking for.
Exactly.
I'm not really into the Skins like that, but I know we got to talk about it.
Yeah, you know we got to talk about it. Will T is out. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this, but he is not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. The Washington Redskins defeating the Carolina Panthers 29-20. And their upcoming game against the Green Bay Packers at 8:20. We'll talk about the Maryland Terps basketball team being third in the country. Cody Wilcox, deputy managing editor for Sports SB Nation's Tostito Times, covering Maryland athletics, will join the show. At 8:30, Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast will join the show to talk about what Ray mentioned earlier, the Hoyas situation. They removing James Akinjo and Josh.
No, Glad
Hoyas is just a fan.
He came on the show before.
Yeah, no, I love Glad Hoyas. I'm just saying.
Somebody needs to tell us why Akinjo was.
We're about to find out.
He actually knows this guy.
Oh, yeah, we're about to find out.
Okay, we'll see.
Josh LeBlanc off the team.
We know why they're off the team.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We know why they're off the team. At 8:40, we'll chat. I actually have an idea why he's off the team. At 8:40, we'll chat about free agent Steven Strasburg meeting with the Yankees. Finally, at 8:50, we'll make our NFL Week 14 picks. But first, on Sunday, the Washington Redskins defeated the Carolina Panthers 29-21. Thoughts on the game?
George, you're not going to like this. George Templeton, I know you are our number one listener. But weeks ago, for the last several weeks, what have we been preaching? the Redskins need to continue to have a run heavy offense in order to help Mr. Haskins become comfortable. And it worked to perfection against the Panthers this past weekend. Nobody's complaining now when Darius Geis had a career day.
Oh, yeah.
And Adrian Peterson also got into the end zone and nearly ran 400 yards. Dude, you can't ask for anything better to help your young quarterback. I am still, and I was against Dwayne Haskins playing this season. I know on Twitter, everybody's been talking about, I'm glad to see him getting better and getting his time. It's going to help him. I'm still against it, but I told you this. If he's going to play, I want them to run the football, so it is helping him. And I feel as though right now, what he's experiencing has been beneficial, and it is beneficial. And this game was a prime example. To me, he still needs work, but there is growth, and that's what you want to see going forward. However, I don't know how confident the coaching staff is in him. And then from an organizational standpoint, I know this is not necessarily answering your question, but there's still a lot of question marks in terms of what's going to happen moving forward. Bruce Allen now looks like
he could be.
His job is in jeopardy. So we need to see what's going to happen. But for Mr. Haskins, focus on, you know, getting better, studying your playbook. It looks like he's trying to do that. He's getting better command. And his teammates are trusting him more. And again, when your run game is working, it's always helpful.
I mean, to me, he played well. I mean, the stats don't show, but, you know, you had Terry McLaurin dropped about a 40-yard pass.
I agree with that.
Then you had Sprinkle, who dropped the easy one.
He had some drops.
He has a lot of drops. So, I mean, if you take away some of those drops, those key drops, his stats look better. It wasn't like – he was more accurate compared to he was the week before, right? The one they played the the Lions.
Now, remember what we said. We don't ever really have a problem with accuracy. Just when he misses bad.
Yeah, he wasn't missing bad.
Right, he didn't miss bad.
This game, he wasn't missing
that's
bad.
That's how I'm going to frame it. That's
all. Yeah, he didn't miss bad in this game. I like, again, Ray, you know, I stated this when the season started, when Jay wasn't, you know, when Jay was the coach and when Case Keenum was the quarterback. You got Adrian Peterson, you got Geis. You got to run those dudes. I know a lot of people want this team to air it out and whatnot. Whoever the quarterback was, they wanted them to air it out and then play with their toys. But at the same time, at the end of the day, your best players are proven. Your best players to me at that position is the running back position. Even with if you had like you got Chris Thompson, you got Adrian Peterson, you got Geis. You believe Geis is the number one wide running back? Well, you got AP, Geis, and Chris Thompson. I mean, Geis was coming off injury, so you wanted to ease Geis in the situation. Jay decided not to do that. He gave Geis the bulk of the load. Geis got hurt, and he inactivated AP in the beginning of the season. So this was the formula that I envisioned for this team to have from day one. Unfortunately, under Jay, it never happened. So, I mean, Geis ran hard. You saw his physical toughness in that game against Carolina. He was stiff-arming folks. I believe he had about 129 yards rushing and only 10 carries. And he showed he's explosive, that he was dynamic within those runs. Adrian Peterson has done what he's pretty much done with the Skins when he's getting an opportunity. It was just a good dynamic duo. It works, man. If you have two good backs and you utilize it correct, if you utilize it correctly, it can work. You can keep both backs fresh. That means you're putting pressure on the defense. You're putting so much pressure on Haskins and even McLaurin being a rookie to be your number one wide receiver to make plays consistently. When you have two dudes that can pretty much make it easy for you if you decide to run the football,
you don't have a choice.
But they were acting like they did. You get my point?
You do not have a choice. You have to run the football. Again, we had this discussion.
Yeah.
You don't have the greatest weapons for a quarterback to throw to.
But how come they were doing that anyway? You know what I'm saying? That's not my point.
Well, you argued that passionately, but I know you changed your stance since. When you were like, "Oh, Terry McLaurin, we do have receivers." You remember that argument? I'm like,
"No, I said we did, but I said that still. I said that we had Terry McLaurin." That's what I said. I said I did. But I didn't say that they should be airing the ball out.
You never said that. No, no. So you've always been advocate for the ball. Yeah. Again, I'm just trying to get at you a little bit.
I know, obviously.
But there is no alternative game plan. You have to run the football and you have to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Now, on the defensive side of the ball,
I like Wes,
again, so. What's trending on Twitter is the removal of Josh Norman has resulted in much better.
They played against backup quarterbacks.
Overall defensive play.
They played against backup.
It don't matter.
But I think I agree
because my man Fitzmagic came in for the Dolphins and almost gave you an L in Miami.
Real talk.
If the coach didn't go for it, maybe they extend the game and they could potentially win in overtime.
Maybe.
But
we don't know.
We don't know. I'm just saying. You have to take the positives from these past two wins. You have to build upon any type of positive momentum that you can muster up. Because, again, it's been such a tough season. You lost your coach. Mm-hmm. You've seen players in and out the lineup again, mm-hmm. which has been an issue for the team. And the quarterback situation, it's been a carousel.
Yeah.
So, dude, two wins in a row, the only team in the division right now to do have done so, the only team to have won in the past 2 weeks. And I told you weeks ago.
It's a horrible division.
I've been trying to tell you and Lex that. But I also was telling you, though, that if they could have mustered up a few wins, they would be right there.
I know.
Told you that. You were like, yeah, whatever. Here, Jerry. Now you're seeing it.
I see it.
And they still
got a chance.
That's I know. That's what I'm telling you. I tried to tell you. People going to learn to listen to me.
Dude, I
feel so bad that they lost certain games. Like, for real, you should have won the Bears game because you had opportunities.
Yeah.
That's when Case Keenum tried to do a goal line sneak at the 25-yard line. There are games that really...
The Giants, the first Giants game.
Right. You're kicking yourself like, dude, we should be right here in the thick of it.
Even the Niners game, you were in it.
The Eagles game, the first game of the season, you blew it. Dude, they could be in first place right now. I'm just saying. And they're still in it. They're still not eliminated. And I'm not even confident in the Eagles or Cowboys' ability to just
go strong. Both of them suck. They both look bad. But I don't have no... But like the Packers game, it is what it is. We know it's gonna. It is what it is. But I know what you're saying.
Not gonna beat the Packers.
Exactly. So it's already over.
but you hear. I'm trying to validate my point.
I know. I get your point.
From before.
Yeah, I get you your
know,
point.
Even though you were skeptical of me.
No.
Anyway.
And today,
I still think that you can go into Lambeau and compete, building off of the confidence that you've been gaining in the past 2 weeks, and as we saw. The Packers can be vulnerable.
They can, to a certain extent. But I still see holes in the defense that Aaron Rodgers would, like, light up. I mean, the other quarterbacks
if you give him time, of course.
All the quarterbacks they play, what Aaron Rodgers
will do. They still don't blitz enough. They're still not aggressive enough on defense.
Aaron
so
Rodgers
he's going to eat you alive.
Up.
However,
and
Green Bay, when they're one-dimensional, sometimes that helps if you have a decent pass rush.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that I watched that Carolina game, the Allen, the kid they think that's better than Cam, missed. Even on a 2-point conversion, I mean the last drive, the last play when he got sacked, he had before that he had dude open in the corner, and he would have scored a touchdown. I mean, he threw this. He was wide open. It would have been a touchdown. Dude was missing throws. Yeah, like all I'm saying is that like you do that against A-Rod, oh you're getting eight. Like, you know, so you're getting eight. I don't want to hear nothing about, like, what they see in terms of improvement. Like, quarterback play does mean a lot. Though I do agree with you, Ray, that defense has played better. The secondary has played better with Josh Norman, being demoted. I've always said this. Fabian Monroe, if you put him outside, he's a better cornerback than Josh Norman. He's a guy who can ball. You've been playing him inside to play nickel. He's a tall cornerback playing nickel. I said you put him outside, you'll get – the best out of Fabian Monroe. Within the last 2 weeks, he's had three interceptions.
Here's another storyline that came out of this game. At least, again, I'm going off of what I saw on social media.
Yeah.
Ryan Kerrigan this whole season has not generated pressure.
I ain't saying nothing about that.
Now, you saw that.
I ain't saying
nothing. He hasn't generated pressure.
I ain't saying nothing.
As soon as he's out the lineup, now you see.
I know you're talking about. I ain't saying. You said Montez Sweat had a sack and a half, and then he got hurt.
This is not me.
I know I'm with you. The dude who... Can't like Chris Owen has
time to move on while you can't duck the question.
Nate Orchard, I've been said that it's been time to move on. I've said that to many folks. Like at the end of the day, like Ryan Kerrigan, he's a good guy.
No more flexing.
He's a tough player, but I don't like. I'm gonna say this, man. I don't like non-impactful sacks. Put it that way. I don't like having a stretch of sacks when you're already out of it. Like when your team needs you, that's when I want you to get sacks. I don't want you to pull up sacks when you're already out of playoff contention and now you're racking up on backup left tackles or porous left tackles. I want you to do it against when you're going to get Tyron Smith from the Dallas Cowboys. I want you to abuse him. If you're getting paid that bag, you got to perform like you're getting that bag. That's all I'm saying. Like when you're paid as a top end pass rusher, like you gotta, if you're not getting sacks, then you gotta be getting constant pressure. When you see folks like, Von Miller, he may not get sacks, but he's getting constant pressure. When you're seeing even Ladavion Clowney, he doesn't get a bunch of sacks. Jadeveon Clowney. Thank you. He gets constant pressure, dog. Constant pressure. He may not be getting the sacks, but he's getting constant pressure. Ryan Kerrigan, you'd be like, where is Ryan? It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Ryan?
Yeah, well. I don't know if it's because he's a fan favorite that many don't want to necessarily acknowledge this. But guys who know football definitely can see the difference. And unfortunately, maybe his tenure is up. But everything that you're saying, all these guys you're naming around the league who can make impacts for their team, the Redskins don't have that guy yet. As much as I like Daron Payne, as much as I like the Bama wall as a whole.
Mm-hmm. But it's hard to do that. But you don't really rely.
Interior, right.
Yeah, you don't.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what you was hoping out of Montez. To be honest, which what you're hoping out of Montez Sweat. But again, I look at it like, all right, for example, look at Preston Smith.
Right.
What was he doing in D.C.?
I know.
He leaves D.C., well, getting 10 sacks, and he's an impact player in
the
league.
So what does that come down to? Of course, coaching.
There you go.
And secondly, your personnel, mm-hmm. which is, of course, selected by who? Your president, your general manager. Changes have to be made, clearly. Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yes. Oh, so George did tweet. George, about your Kerrigan, actually, your Kerrigan comment. He said, I think it's time to move on to Kerrigan, too.
I love Redskins George,
could
man.
Save a he's decent so, amount under so the real. Cap if they move him on after the season.
But what he's saying is absolutely correct.
Yeah, it's true.
It's very correct.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
I love when you say that.
I do agree.
I agree.
Don't worry about it. I rarely do, though. It's okay, though. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. So the Skins are a two-game winning streak.
That's so sad.
I know, like, they're traveling.
Two-game winning streak,
I know,
and you're still 3-9.
But you're traveling to Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra.
The frozen tundra.
Chill. All right, so is it impossible to get a W, bro?
No. Any given Sunday, brother. It can happen. Mm-hmm. It's just with a rookie quarterback and a defense that doesn't always generate consistent pressure going against Aaron Rodgers, it's highly unlikely that you get a W on the road like this. But if you can continue to run the ball effectively, mm-hmm. you can control the clock, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Still a good formula. And you're still covering better on defense in the secondary. You just got to generate pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, why isn't Minuski taking just more risk considering the season is already
in some ways kind of lost?
You're in it because the division right now is weak. Yeah. But at the same time, yes, what do you have to lose? You've been losing a lot of games. Just
know why you,
take risks. Blitz. Saying,
you suck. Like, let's be real. Like, your team is 3-9. At the time, you're like 1-whatever.
I'm trying to say.
You're like 1-whatever.
I'm trying to say in a nice way.
You're 1-9 at the time. And you still weren't blitzing. You still weren't aggressive. You finally got a little aggressive against the Lions, and you saw what happened. Like, you got a little aggressive. Why not just go all out? Like, that's all my, like, why not go all out? Like, what do you have to lose? You're going to lose your, what, are you scared that you're going to lose your job? Because basically, to me, you're going to lose your job at the end of the season anyway. So, what are you scared for? Like, you think you're going to really save your job? Everybody touted this defense as having so much talent, having talent enough to be a top 10 defense.
Historic.
Huh? Yeah, some said historic. Yeah, I said top 10.
I remember those preseason discussions, even on this show.
Yeah, I said top 10.
There was so much optimism.
Yeah, I know. Real talk. But you
quickly halted the optimism when you saw, like, the first preseason.
I was like,
uh-uh.
I was like,
I got to agree with you on that.
Yeah, I said, uh-uh. Because I saw how they were being coached. So all I'm saying is, like, dude, what do you got to lose? Like, you weren't even being – like, what do you have to lose? Like, then coach that team up.
To me, if you mix up your blitzes and you mix up your coverages,
bruh,
you're going to confuse the opponent because they know what to expect. You're so predictable.
So
and that has
predictable.
Been said for so long about this defense under Greg Minuski.
No, I agree. So when George said something else, hold on. I'm going to read it before we go to break.
Absolutely.
What did George say? George said, all right, so let's not overdo it. If Jay Gruden was still coaching the Skins, we would have one win, maybe two. Best thing about the wins with Callahan is it makes Gruden look like the damn fool he is. I agree.
George, you are 100% accurate. And he's right. The team can save if you let Kerrigan go. Now, Kerrigan could go somewhere else and ball, though, in a different system.
He could.
You know, so that's the only
But my issue is that sometimes I've seen him, he's been blocked one-on-one by lesser tackles. That's my problem. Backup tackles. I've seen backup tackles block him one-on-one.
Jonathan Allen. I couldn't think of his name. I said Daron Payne, Alabama wall as a whole. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just to pay homage to the big homie. You know, I respect your defense, and I respect the fire that they play with in spite of the situation they were placed
he
in.
He plays with fire even though they suck. Even though the team sucks.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, so, no, I give all – no, they deserve a lot of credit. The Maryland Terps men's basketball team is number 3 in the country. Testudo Times – Cody Wilcox will join us to discuss this after the break and listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig?
Deuces. Dre, I see dead people. Modern vampires of the city. Antin blood. Blood. Blood.
Thought I was dead. West Coast. I'm the doctor's advocate. Dre shot you, brought me back from the dead. That's why they call him the doctor. The math gon' drop him. And 50 ain't rockin' with him no more. It's okay, I get it poppin'. Whole club rockin' like a 6'4 Impala. Drink Chris, throw it up. Call it hydraulic, then send it up. Call it hypnotic. I bleed confident. Spit crack is chronic. And you knew same but new. Bathing they shoot. So I'm talking to you. Bouncing the 6-4, throwing up West Side, man. Sell another 5 million albums, yes I am. Fresh like damn, this did it again. 100,000 on his neck, LA above the brim. Inside the Lambo, shotgun with Snoop. What would the mother West Coast be without one?
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, yes, Ole, Ray Jeezy. Will T is out.
Will T is out. Load management. That's what we all on to close this year out. But for me, for different reasons, you know, just busy. You feel me? Out here putting the name of the Urban Sports Scene on the map, yeah, as always.
I should my mic. I had to get my mic back.
It's all great. Yeah,
thank you, saved it, because my mic was dead.
I held it down.
You sure did, because my mic went dead on me. right now, we have Cody Wilcox, Deputy Managing Editor for SB Nation, Tuxedo Times, covering Maryland athletics on the line. What's going on, Cody?
What's going on, guys? It's been a while. I think the last time we talked, I think we were 2 weeks into college football.
Yeah.
They were 2-0 and... You know, they finished 3-9, so a lot has happened since the last time that we talked.
How did that happen, though? Such the drop off before we get into basketball?
It was a tough, you know. Obviously, the Syracuse win, we all thought it was a great win at the time, right? They were the number 22 team in the nation, but they kind of fell off, and that, like I said, that win looked really good at the time. But Maryland's offensive line really was their Achilles heel for, you know, the season. And they brought in quarterback Josh Jackson, and a lot of people were really excited about him. But it's tough to pass the ball when you got a bunch of guys coming after you. And I think that was something, along with, you know, injuries, a youthful secondary. I will say one highlight of their season was freshman defensive back Nick Cross from DeMatha. Mm-hmm. He really played really well throughout the season. It'll be exciting to see what he does in year two.
And McFarland is going pro, I hear?
Yep. McFarland is going. That was announced earlier today via his Twitter. We have an article up on Tuxedo Times about it, actually. And I'm excited. I think he didn't have as good of a year as everybody was expecting, but he was also dealing with an ankle injury for the majority of the year. And obviously, you know, the offensive line not being great has an impact, but he's really a do-it-all back, and I think he's going to be really successful in the NFL.
Well, Cody, we do not expect the same outcome when we talk in Terps basketball. Men's basketball, no, currently ranked number 3, and I put it out there on TV. It'll air tomorrow, that this is the best starting five in the country in terms of athleticism, size, as well as experience. Do you agree with that? Because, you know, not everybody's going to, but it to me, it's factual. Jalen Smith as well, if they play through him for the remainder of the season, I think that's the key to success long term. And Aaron Wiggins hasn't even found his shot yet. He's one of the best shooters in the country, in my opinion. I think, again, just based on all the things I just said, best starting five in college basketball right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't got the chance to watch as many other teams because Maryland has taken up a lot of my time, but I will say they've got some athletes and they've got length on that team, you know, and usually, you know, typical Mark Turgeon teams go maybe 5, 6, 7 players deep, but yeah, they have a lot of players.
Dante Scott looks good.
He's my favorite freshman of them all, because I tell you what, that man, I joke with him when I introduce myself for the first time that, you know, he's built like a linebacker, but he can, you know, he'll drain a 3, you know, and he's just so athletic. And Hakeem Hart has really come on. He's looking pretty good with his length. And Aaron Wiggins, obviously, he hasn't found a shot, like you said, but he has the length as well, and we saw that this past weekend against Marcus Howard, you know, one of the best impressive. College basketball players.
Yeah, best
you
know? That was impressive.
There you go, jumping the non-Terrapin fan over here.
That's the truth. Yeah,
that was impressive. Yeah.
It was. Hey, Marcus Howard be killing Biggie squad.
Two quick things. One thing is, you know, I love the fact that they play Harvard, because Harvard is one of those teams that you could potentially see, let's just say, first round, second round of the NCAA tournament, right. And they make, you know, threes, and they won't go away. They're scrappy. I feel like that was a great win, even though they started off slow. But one concern that has been obviously put out there is that the fact that the team overall has struggled shooting from beyond the arc. And when having this discussion last night, the change with the three-point line, the fact that it moved back, that was considered to potentially be a factor. Why do you think they're struggling shooting when they have good shooters, again, including Aaron Wiggins and Anthony Cowan and Ayala as well?
You know, that's a good question, and that's a question that's come up a lot so far this season. You know, we're, eight games in the season, and it's tough for Aaron to find his shot so far. Now, I do think it'll come eventually, and I really think, you know, when you're a shooter, you see the ball going a couple times, and that's all you need. And I really think Cowan's the senior leader. He'll get his points. I think he had 72 points on the weekend, which nobody's really talking about, but that was pretty incredible.
That was crazy.
But I think Eric will find his shot eventually. Aaron will too, but it's just a matter of time. I think these first couple games of the season, the team was still trying to find each other's roles and try to figure out how one another can play, you know, with each other, with Turgeon trying all these lineups, and, you know, you got all these freshmen contributing as well. But I just think it just takes a little bit of time. And this upcoming stretch, Maryland plays Notre Dame, Illinois, Penn State, and Seton Hall. All tough matchups.
Yes, sir.
And I think Aaron, you know, he starts clicking. He's one of the X factors for the team. And I think if he starts really, you know, hitting his shots, the defense will come, like we talked with his length. But if he starts hitting the shots, I really do think, you know, Maryland could make a run in March.
So, go ahead, my bad. Yeah, I would just say, if you zone up, right, you zone up on this team because they're struggling from the perimeter, do you think that impacts Jalen Smith's ability to be effective in the middle?
It could. I definitely think it could. He actually hasn't hit a three this season, I don't think, either. But, you know, a lot of people have been saying that about the zone and things, but I think when you have a point guard like Anthony Cowan, I think, and eventually when they hit their shots, that'll get Jalen Smith more touches because Anthony is able to facilitate and they're able to rotate the ball. Now, I can understand more teams going zone, like you said, when they're struggling from three, but Jalen's put on, I think, 30 pounds since he got to College Park. So even if they're missing shots and he stays out of foul trouble, I think he'll be able to rack up just a few points on the offensive glass because he's such a big body down there, along with the Mitchell twins. They've contributed great minutes so far. They got some big boys too, and I think they'll be able to grab some offensive rebounds and get some easy points there.
Hey, Cody, thanks for being on, my man. Before we let you go, let our listeners know about Testudo Times and how they can catch you on social media.
Yes, so Testudo Times, we just have our preview up right now, testudotimes.com. We talk all about Notre Dame, what you can expect. You know, they're not going to turn the ball over. They play some clean basketball. Mm-hmm. We got some new stuff coming out tomorrow. You can catch me on Twitter at CodyWilcox_15. And feel free to, you know, shoot me a DM or tweet me anything anybody else really wants to know. I'm an open book. But I appreciate you all having me on once again. And hopefully, basketball doesn't have the same result as football since the last time.
It won't. It definitely won't. This team looks real. Hey, Cody, thanks again, man. Hopefully we'll have you on during the season, throughout the season.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Georgetown, why?
You know it. It's a lot. It's drama in Hoyer Nation.
Yo,
bro.
I'm trying to tell you, bro. But I know Patrick Ewing had the support of all the old heads. My gosh.
Hey, man. We can talk about it. Wait. Anyway, Akinjo and LeBlanc are off the Hoyer's team. Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast will join us to discuss this after the break and listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. We'll be right back. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole, Ray, Jeezy, Will T is out right now. Ooh, did I hit something off? Right now, we got the homie, Patrick Waring. I just played off Patrick Waring from the NBS Sports Hour podcast on the line. What's going on, Pat?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Pat, you're you're good? You're okay.
Yeah.
You're right? Okay.
It's all good. All
right, so, Pat, let's get into it, man. You know what? James Akinjo, Josh LeBlanc, they're off the Hoyas team, man. What happened?
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
I think last week when me and you were talking, we thought the biggest issue was going to be, can they get past the next game? Can they get it going? I don't think that, you know, never in our wildest dreams would we have thought we would have seen that news last night. So basically, like you said, the guys are no longer with the team. The school and athletic department or the basketball team issued a statement saying they would no longer be with the team for the rest of the year. Then it came out they were transferring. Then this whole thing just kind of opened up bigger. So it looks like there was a list that circulated around campus where there was a list of members of the school that were possibly either accused or involved with sexual assault. That came out. And then online last night after the transfer news came out, it looks like people actually started searching. They started searching DC case search and stuff, and that's how this thing kind of opened up. So people seen LeBlanc's name, people seen Myron Gardner's name, people seen Gail Alexander's name. Akinjo's name wasn't listed anything online, but that just kind of opened up this whole big thing. So what we know now is Akinjo and LeBlanc are in the transfer portal. And we also know that three other members of the team, including Josh LeBlanc, are named in sexual assault, harassment, and burglary charges.
So what's going on? So let's go to Akinjo. So what's up? I mean, my vibe on Akinjo, from what I've kind of gathered, is that, you know, he may have had a blow up with Pat or whatever prior. This is something totally different. Like, Akinjo is frustrated with what's going on in Georgetown and what's going on with him in terms of basketball, and he wanted out. That's what I've kind of
heard. That's the biggest blow to the team, too.
But, you know, especially if you watch the game, the last game with the NC North Carolina.
How you lose UNC Greensboro.
I know. I don't care about you.
How you lose to UNC Greensboro?
Shut up. I want to hear that crack.
Sorry.
You lost to Michigan. You're a North Carolina fan, aren't you? You got blown up by Michigan. Juwan did some work.
That's the number 14.
It's now number 14. It wasn't at the time. You just made him number 4.
Greensboro. Right. Who was that? Diego Guevara went there? Or was that UNC Charlotte?
All these mid-majors anyway are winning. They beating squad. Duke lost to Stephen F. Austin. I don't want to hear this crap.
Stephen F. Austin.
Hey, what's going on? Like, Akinjo, what's the vibe for you? Or what do you think about that what happened with Akinjo?
Georgetown. Man.
Yeah, well, to be fair with Akinjo, Akinjo's name has not come up in any type of court docs or anything. But right now, what we understand, his situation is different. So he kind of got lumped into the other stuff, but now you look at it, it looks like his stuff is all basketball related as far as what we know. I know he said family members online that have actually issued comments and statements saying that they're saying his is strictly basketball.
Yeah.
This is something he had been thinking about for a while. So he's leaving now. I heard some rumors and speculation about there was a blow-up with him and Ewan. I don't know if that's true or not, but what we know is he's not happy with the plan. Now, could it be, and shame on me, I might be, I guess I'm speculating as well, it could be a combination of him already not being happy, maybe him knowing this other stuff is going down with these other players, maybe he's thinking, hey, you know, let's get out. But either way, he's looked like we've seen him play his last game for Georgetown.
And you know what? And I've been the biggest James Akinjo fan in terms of him as a Hoya. I like his game in terms of being a basketball player. But I will say this though, to Hewitt's defense, if it's basketball, I watched that UNC Greensboro game thoroughly. I did. I watched it thoroughly. And I thought, in terms of as a point guard, running the offense and getting into sets and doing what the team needed, I thought that Allen from DeMatha was better at it, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, a lot of people have made similar comments too. I think Akinjo. Well, first of all, I'm gonna say, wait a minute. I'm a big James Akinjo fan. I was excited about what I seen last year. I was excited about what we could see in the future. But that has been a topic of discussion. A lot of people feel like sometimes he kind of goes away from the plan. Now maybe he makes good points, but maybe it goes against what the coaching staff wants. So sometimes, remember last year, there was a lot of talk about him blowing off plays.
Yeah.
And kind of doing his own thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just not a fit. And maybe this isn't bad on Akinjo. It isn't bad on Ewan. Maybe just sometimes things don't match up.
Yeah. Patrick, I'm changing gears slightly here. I mean, obviously, dismissals at this time of the year, where the team is still trying to gel, is going to affect the team in a negative way. You already were struggling prior to these dismissals, and that you know, to me is it's a referendum on how Patrick Ewing has struggled to recruit for whatever reason. Chris Mullin had the same issue. These guys, to some degree, are outdated with these younger kids, man. Wally and I had a discussion about how Penny Hardaway is still relevant. You know, if he comes to your house,
he's a Nike legend.
I know. If he comes to your house to recruit you, you're going to know who he is. You might still have his shoes. Patrick Ewing, nobody wore Ewings. A lot of these younger guys don't remember his playing days. So where does the program go, and how long do you keep Patrick Ewing as a coach if these type of struggles continues when you're scheduling cupcake teams, but you're struggling to beat them?
They ain't cupcake teams this year, though. Well, don't say that, because they have actually their schedule's tougher this year. This year it's been tougher.
Patrick.
It's the truth.
Well,
Texas,
Oklahoma
State's up next.
That was good.
Oklahoma State's up next.
But who do they play?
Penn State is actually, truth be told, they're like a tournament team right now, the way they're playing. I'm just telling you, like, I'm being real. Like, I'm not even being a homer. I'm being real.
I'm just saying, in the games where they play these smaller schools,
they don't play well. No, I agree. They don't play well.
So I'm just saying, where do you go?
Well, I think the part is, as far as recruiting, I think he's actually done a little bit better job than some people think. And I think that was something that was going to start trending in the right direction. The fear I have right now is this situation that's going on right now, is that going to hurt him in the program going forward for two reasons? Will there be a change made earlier than we thought, or could this potentially scare away people? Could Akinjo transferring out because he doesn't like the way, can that hurt him later in recruiting? Right now, he actually has a pretty nice class coming in next year. He's got the kid, Jamari Sibley, mm-hmm. playing out of Oak Hill. He just committed. He has Terrence Williams coming from Gonzaga. He has a point guard, Dante Harris, that's playing out in Tennessee. He's actually playing for Curtis Staples that played for Virginia. So he has some guys coming in that can hopefully help.
I love Curtis Staples. I'm sorry. I just love Curtis Staples. Go ahead, continue.
Back to the original point, though, you're making, though. I mean, he has to find a way to recruit. I think as far as staying relevant, these kids may not necessarily know who Ewan is. Maybe their parents do. Right. But I think the most important thing is winning on the court. So when these kids are watching, when you get these opportunities to go against a Texas that was ranked, when you get a chance to go against a Duke, finding ways to win games like that, I think that's what's really going to make or break you. That, and can you get guys to the league? Because mm-hmm. sometimes a kid might say, hey, you may not go deep in the tournament, you may not win, but if I'm seeing all these other guys who play for you get paid, that's going to make me want to come to you too.
Yeah, you damn
well, see, that's why I feel like he takes an L too, because, you know, if you're going to be a one and done, you're not going to pick Georgetown. Now, the good thing is, and I do like this about college basketball, and I wish that the one and done rule didn't exist, I like when guys come and they play together. Like Maryland's team right now, they have a lot of veterans. But if you're going to have veterans, that means you're going to have to win games, because experience matters, I believe. Josh Hart showed that when he was in school. He stayed all 4 years. Guys like Tyler Hansbrough, you know, they won and they stayed around. So I still think he's got his work cut out for him. I do agree, and I was a little bit misinformed, I guess, about the recruiting class. So thank you for bringing me up to speed. That's why we brought you on, brother. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I hope so, man. You know, you you want to see everything go right on the basketball court, but I think, unfortunately, right now, the most important thing is probably the stuff that's going on off of it. And can these guys go and play this game tomorrow without having all these distractions?
Yeah, that's going
to
be tough.
Can they be able to play? And then we don't even know what's going to happen with Gardner and Alexander.
That's right, what I wonder. What's going to happen to Gardner? That's what I was going to ask. That's going to be my next question.
Well, right now, everybody's just kind of waiting. Mm-hmm. The word from the school basically is they came out with another statement today. Basically, they're going through the process of investigation. So if something comes out more, I guess they're trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're trying to listen to the accuser. They're trying to listen to the defendants in this situation. So can something change between now and then? Who knows? Why did LeBlanc only get suspended one game and was able to play after that? Why didn't Gardner? And why didn't Alexander get suspended? So I think there's like a whole lot of questions out there now. When did you and
some text
find
messages
out about this stuff? How long
messages
was he sitting on it? So can we go into tomorrow with the guys that we think going to be there? Will they go shorter? I think that, it's a whole lot of things that are kind of floating out there still.
It's definitely going to be tough. But hey, Pat, thanks for being on, my man. How can folks catch the podcast and hit you up on social media, my man?
Yeah, the podcast is the NBS Sports Hour. So that's at NBS Sports Hour. And then as far as me, at Wearing Patrick.
Hey, Pat, man, thanks again, man. You know I appreciate you, man. Let's go Hoyas, my man. Hoyas Saxon.
All right,
we are Georgetown.
There you go. Thanks a lot, guys.
No
I appreciate
problem.
Y'all.
No problem,
thank
man.
Thank you.
That's my man, Patrick Wearing, from the NBS.
If you beat Alabama State by six, then you got problems.
Bruh, I don't know what you're talking about. We beat Texas, who was already ranked. Could have beat Duke.
Who else did you beat?
Could have beat Duke.
Could have.
Dude, how many teams have good wins this year? Like, look at you like Carolina. How many wins, good
stop
wins of Carolina?
Stop saying that, man.
Then stop it. So I don't want to hear that crap.
I'm just saying, who else did you beat? Name them.
Just named it. Texas was ranked.
Okay, but who else did you beat?
Who else
team that you beat.
Name a team that Carolina beat that's ranked.
No, name the team.
No, name a team that Carolina's ranked. I'm using a comparison, so therefore it can squash the argument.
No, I just want to know.
I just said Texas.
What is Carolina? But name all the teams that they beat so far.
Oh, this season? Oh, they beat.
Not because I'm trying to argue. I just want to know, Dag, what I'm trying to remember.
I didn't know. I'm trying to remember myself.
All right, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure out the break.
Dag, go on, man. I'm not trying to argue.
Yes, you are.
Carolina's not the strongest this season.
I love Carolina. You know, man.
He's a standout, but
the only team to me that looks good in terms of what they've been doing to everybody is Michigan. I think Michigan's played good teams and it's kind of like gone through them.
You haven't watched the Terrapins, clearly.
Terrapins beat who, man? I don't want to hear
that. They beat Harvard.
They beat Harvard.
They beat Marquette.
Right, they beat Harvard. Are we doing this for real? Harvard? Marquette's going to watch this.
Tommy Amberger, again, Harvard is one of them teams.
I hate Harvard.
I'm telling you.
All right, man. Could Steven Strasburg ditch the Nationals for the Yankees? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Irvin Sports.
You're crazy.
But Aegis, you dig?
Doses.
You're listening to the Urban
Georgia State, baby.
With Wole and Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out.
State.
Georgia State was a game team, man. Everybody was talking about how they were a good team. I think it duped some go too, I think.
You know what? You're right. Parity is growing in basketball in general. Yeah. We see the international game changing. Yeah. Team USA didn't even place this past summer.
This is true.
Basketball, the landscape is changing, bro. Yeah,
look,
Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, Stephen F. Austin went to Cameron.
And beat won.
That's what I'm saying.
Times are
changing, bro. All right, the World Series MVP and free agent starting pitcher Stephen Strasburg is set to meet with the New York Yankees this week. Do you think Stephen Strasburg, Big Strauss, would lead the Nationals for the Yankees?
I don't like this. I really don't. I texted you earlier. I feel like this is all Scott Boras. Because is the Yankees the first team he met with?
Nah, the Dodgers.
Is that? I'm just saying, it's been more than these two teams.
Yeah.
But as soon as he meets with the Yankees, now it's big news. Scott Boras is trying to help his client. He's negotiating.
Yeah.
Yeah, this negotiating play. That's all it is. Scott Boras blows me. Now, Rendon also met with the Dodgers as well, right?
Yeah. I think he met with Texas too.
Rendon and Strauss would be a good fit for the Dodgers, but not the Yankees. I don't think it's a good move. Again, I think that the fact that the Yankees typically are willing to open up the wallet is why it's big news.
Yeah.
Because, okay, wow, they could be trying to rebuild a power. Mm. But, bro, you said it even when you talked to me earlier. Strauss just wouldn't be a good fit in New York.
Not a good fit.
And the Dodgers, him and Rendon would be good.
On Twitter, at MarkFD218 said no about, you know, Strauss and the Yankees. He said no too much of a pressure cooker for him and his family. For the Dodgers or any West Coast team, he leaves in a heartbeat. Yeah, I think the Dodgers. I think national fans should be more scared about the Dodgers than the Yankees. I think he's a West Coast kid. The Dodgers got the money to throw the bag. They throw the bag at folks all the time. Like, so the Dodgers have the Yankees money. He's a West Coast kid.
Right.
And it's a pitcher-friendly ballpark. So it works for Strauss. So Strauss doesn't have to, you know, like, he could still be dominated. He could be dominated at home games. If he goes to the Yankees, he has to be perfect, to be honest with you, pitching in that ballpark because the dimensions are so short. So if he throws a perfect pitch, that can still go off for a home run. So I just think that, A, going to the National League, going to the American League, knowing you're going to see a DH every game, a DH – most of the games, and also playing in that ballpark where the ball carries, you got a short ballpark. I don't think that's a situation that Strauss wants. And then all adding that, it's the New York market. So if he isn't, you know, shutting folks down consistently, they're going to get on him. And I don't think he's down for that. Like Rendon, I think Rendon doesn't care where he. I think Rendon can play anywhere. Like, he just has that temperament. It doesn't really matter for him. He can play anywhere. But Strasburg, I don't think the Yankees are a threat. I actually think Strauss is going to stay in Washington. I think the only team that can take Strauss away from Washington, to be honest with you, is the Dodgers. I think that's the only team.
Because of the West Coast?
Because of the West Coast thing. I think he's just a West Coast dude. That's the only. I think he wouldn't leave for another East Coast team, put it that way. I don't think he would leave D.C. for another East Coast team.
I think Strasburg is worth whatever money is offered.
Oh, no, he's worth it.
You know, for example, like,
I agree.
Anthony Rendon's age scares me a little bit of giving him a huge contract, you know, especially if it's going to be 4 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
But with Strauss, you have to pay him and you have to match whatever team is offering him.
Yeah, I agree.
He was your best pitcher and he virtually won you the World Series.
No, I agree. I agree. He saved your season. He saved you a season in the postseason a number of times.
But I also think these players now, and especially with Scott Boras as the agent,
they are
in the driver's seat when it comes to these negotiations. Like, dude, we just won the World Series. So can you match what these teams are offering? And the learners could either say, you know what, thank you, we got what we wanted, we good. Or the learners could say, we want to keep winning, we want to build on this, and we're going to pay you. If you're going to pay somebody, you got to pay Strauss. You said Gerrit Cole is going to the Yankees most likely.
I think he's going to the Yankees.
I would love to see Gerrit Cole come here. I don't know if that's a possibility, but I would definitely, you know, pay both of them and have.
I don't think the learners are playing both. I think
the best starting rotation in baseball.
I think they're going. The learners are focused on bringing Strauss back. I think Strauss will match. They'll match Strauss's offer. Whoever the Yankees or whoever the Dodgers get.
Starting pitching is harder to find than a third.
You're damn right. That's why you're going to freaking match that off.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when we were having a discussion, you know, off air, I was like, if the Nats don't sign Strauss, they'll probably definitely go back and get Rendon. Like, they'll just give Rendon the bag. But if they do resign Strauss, right? Because to me, it's a by any means necessary thing when it comes to Strasburg, right? I think we both can agree it's by any means necessary. You bring Strauss back. Then Rendon is, you're like, you know what? We may not have enough money to bring you back because we put all this focus on Strauss. But, and it should be. It should be. Strauss should be the number one focus. Because at the end of the day, like, you said it. Like, he saved your season. And Rendon was amazing in the postseason. Let's not take that away. And he's a MVP candidate. He was amazing. And I want – well, they should sign both of them. So let me put that out there. They should sign both of them. But I'm just trying to think of the way the learners think. I just think that, you know what I mean, if it's between the two, if it's like we got to just sign one, they're definitely going ham with Strauss.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other alternative. I'm going to say that about this situation as well. I hope that's what happens. Because if you lose both –
oh my God! That's terrible.
You're gonna be heading towards a rebuild.
Yeah,
and that's scary because then, fast forward a couple years, you're probably gonna lose Soto.
Yeah, I agree because you're showing a pattern of not trying to keep your own. You know what I'm saying? And to me, and I think I heard this elsewhere, so I'm not gonna take credit for it. But I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're competing. Like who? You have an opportunity to go back to back, bro, and you're trying to take that away from your fan base. Like, do whatever it takes to go back to back.
I think you have the potential to return to the postseason next year.
But I mean, if you bring everybody back,
I don't think that's realistic.
Oh no, if you bring everybody back, you go back to back.
I feel as though Houston is still the favorite.
Nah, man,
to go
I'm
back
telling you, bro. They are getting in trouble for that scandal.
Yeah. Well, we need to see how that plays out. Yeah. But until I see a penalty handed down against them, and who knows what that penalty is going to be? It could be just a large fine or lost draft picks. But they still got the best team in baseball.
I'm telling you, man. Soto, when you bring in Soto, with Soto's going to get even better, Strauss is getting more. He has more confidence. I'm telling you, Rendon is already – he's just there. That's just who he is. Like, the Nats are one of the most dangerous teams.
Oh, period. Yeah, Robles.
He'll get better. Like, all they need, and this is just being real, and because it can't get any worse, right? They improved their pen. Bro, they're the best team in baseball. They improved their pen. They're the best team in baseball.
Better than the Astros?
Better than the Astros. Mm. They improved their pen because you saw it. Because you saw it, though.
To me, the Astros' bats weren't the same in the World
Series. They went through a better pitching staff.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I'm saying. That's like, true. All around the Nats, and this is what I've been saying, all around, the Nats have the most versatile team in baseball. You got speed. You got power. You got pitching. You got defense. The only thing that they were lacking was their bullpen, and the only reason and what made their bullpen rock because they used starters in their bullpen.
Vole, I said this earlier. I'm not going to argue when it comes to baseball. You accurately predicted what would happen in Game 7, and I can't even argue with you right now. Not that I want to, but I'm gonna listen to what you're saying, and I'm going to respect it.
George just tweeted this, man. He said, whatever the Nats do in free agency, Urban Sports, and they need to make sure they have enough money to keep Soto here for the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
How they compete over the next two seasons is going to be the biggest indication as to whether he will want to stay here or not.
Mm.
Right now, he looks like he's just enjoying being 21,
yeah.
Winning the championship. Like, he's rocking shades now. He got the backwards hat. He's feeling himself, and he should be, especially because he came up clutch in every series at the biggest stage, and you replaced a guy who was thought to be like the next generational superstar. So, dude, Juan Soto, I don't know what we're going to have him, but we're going to join while he's here, George. Just enjoying while he's here, brother.
I agree. All right, we'll make our week 14 picks after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Same for Itis. You dig? Toses.
Bad Boy South. Block Entertainment. I see you, Block. Boys in the Hood. I like this right here. Y'all ready? Let's ride. Boys in the Hood, look at as we proceed to give y'all what y'all need.
It's the boys in the hood, sell anything with pride. 5 in the morning on the corner clocking. Yeah, we roam a deal to give a try to stop. Hey, you can get it anywhere, anybody. Them boys got. Bring a stack. I
swap it out.
Swap it out.
If it's still in the rap, we'll swap it out. Let me hop off in the shower and get myself together. I'ma need about an hour.
About an hour.
I got real clientele. We ain't breaking this shit down. We don't need no scale.
Right.
He worth a meal on the low. Plus the weatherman said there's a light chance of snow.
Boys in the hood sell anything we try. Five in the morning on the corner clock. Yeah, we roam, but they're beginning to try to stop. Hey, you can get it anywhere, anybody. Them boys got.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray, Jeezy, Will T's out. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick'em games with them. Here is what we did in Week 13. Ray, Will T, and I all went 9-7. Here are our overall records. Ray is in first. He's 118-73. I'm in second, 109-82. And Will T is last place. With a record of 101-90, that will get worse today. Here are the records from the Football Garbage Time Mob. Scott is 124-67. Hakun Wong is 123-68. Joanne is 112-79, and Ryan is in last place at 91-100. The homie George is 115-76. All right, here are our Week 14 picks. Cowboys Bears.
I got Dallas.
I got the Bears.
Of course you do.
Yes, yeah, so this is over. We already know this. Panthers, Falcons.
Atlanta every week.
Not really. That's a lie. You every week? I got the Falcons. I got the Falcons too, though.
All right.
Ravens, Bills.
I got the Bills, man. The upset.
I got the Ravens. Bengals, Browns.
I'll take the Browns.
I got the Browns. Skins, Packers.
Packers.
I got the Packers. Lions, yeah. Lions, Vikings.
I'll take the Vikings.
Niners, Saints.
I got the Saints at home.
I got the Niners. Dolphins, Jets.
Give me the Jets.
I got the Jets. Colts, Buccaneers.
I'll take the Colts.
I got the Bucks. Broncos, Texans.
Take the Texans.
I got the Texans. Chargers, Jaguars.
I'm going to take the Chargers.
I'm going to take the Jaguars. Titans versus the Raiders.
I'll take the Raiders.
I got the Titans. Chiefs versus the Patriots.
Give me Kansas City.
Give me the Chiefs. Steelers versus the Cardinals.
I got the Steelers.
The Steelers as well. Seahawks, Rams.
Seahawks, excuse me.
Give me the Rams. Giants, Eagles.
And I got the Eagles.
I got the Eagles as well. See, that was quick.
It was quick. We had a lot of differences. So
I know.
You know, you can definitely climb back in the race this week.
I'll them climb back in the race. I think you got a good hold on the lead.
I don't care about that, really. I'm trying to catch these football guys.
I know. I think you're doing pretty well. I'm kind of rooting for you, dog. Yeah. I really don't root for a lot of folks. I'm rooting for you. You know what I'm saying?
But this is kind of why I went against the grain this week. Mm-hmm. Because New Orleans, I mean, I know it was raining on Sunday, but the Niners, to me, they defended.
They look good.
They
man.
Defended the Ravens
they
pretty
did.
Good.
I was surprised.
So Buffalo's defense is very disciplined,
mm-hmm.
and they can blitz. Uh-huh. So I'm thinking that they can beat the Ravens at home,
you.
Too.
I got you.
At home. And then
the Buffalo defense is real, though.
Weather is going to be a factor because it's going to be cold in Buffalo.
Bradley Beal got 40?
Yep.
God. Dang, and they still getting
it's
beat
9 o'clock,
bad.
Brother.
And they still getting beat bad. All right, so let's wrap this up. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. I normally say this, I'm gonna say it right now. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, a mega. Lead us out, big homie. Swag.